Thank you. That, it's funny how music transports you to different places. That that was the hymn that was sung during my ordination 38 years ago. And funny how you can be transported back to a, you know, just a bit of music can take you back to some place. This is St. Patrick's Day, so let me wish everyone a happy St. Patrick's Day. I actually wore green. My mother is rolling in her grave because I wore green today, because she always made sure that her children wore orange to school on St. Patrick's Day. Orange being the Protestant Irish. And so Mom always made sure that each of her kids got beat up on St. Patrick's Day. Fifth season of Lent. Darren and Marcy and I are doing this series of sermons around the theme of God's movement in this world. Now, we're taking this theme from the series of texts that are part of what we know as the lectionary. Now, the lectionary is a compilation of texts that are put together by a panel of individuals to carry us biblically through the Christian calendar. And my tradition is generally during the season of Lent and during the season of Advent, if no other time during the year, that I will fall back upon those texts because they help us to focus in on what is the essence of the particular season, the essence of what it means to be going through the season of Lent. And for me, as I'm looking at these series of texts, what becomes apparent is that the essence, the core of understanding Lent, is to understand the cost of passion, the cost of Holy Week, the cost that Good Friday played upon God's heart and upon the life and death of Jesus Christ. If we understand the cost, if we understand what it took, then we are more prepared to understand what Easter is for us. If you don't understand the cost, how is it that you are going to understand the reward? And so this text that we have before us today is one that was chosen by this team of people for this season for us. And it's one that I think we've heard before, more than likely, on at least once every 3 years or so. But it's one that deserves our hearing and understanding in terms of seeing what this cost is for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so we're going to look at the 13th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, just a few short verses, but it begins with the 31st verse. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." Jesus said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem." Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often I have desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you are not willing. See, your house is left to you. And I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." May the Lord bless this portion from his holy word. Now last week, I challenged you to step into the text. I challenged you to think about what it would have been like to be in that wilderness for the 40 days. This week, I want to tell you the opposite thing. I don't want you to jump too quickly into this text. Because I think that when we do that, we miss the essence of what this situation is trying to teach us. Because I know that I've heard sermons on this text from a couple of different perspectives, and I've heard it on this text where it was a bit of a Robert Schuller kind of treatment of it. Talking about the power of positive thinking, that as Jesus looked ahead, he thought positively and was able to push through his fears and was able to accomplish the tasks that were before him. And if we can just push through our fears, we can handle anything in our lives. I'm not opposed to positive thinking. I like to think of myself as being a rather optimistic individual. And I do like to see the positive in any situation. But I think that does a disservice to this text. I've also heard it used to encourage people to do things that might be destructive. I had a friend, a colleague of mine, who read this text and was challenged to tackle some issue with his congregation with both barrels blazing. Ended up splitting his congregation. He had to find another place to serve, and it was just devastating. But he saw in this text the encouragement to go full speed ahead no matter what, without any regard to the cost or consequences. In both those situations, we're too quick to jump into this text and see ourselves and to pull out some pithy point that we can allow it to play out in our lives, that we in some way, sense, or shape, take this and use it as a kind of cross-stitch moment for us. You know, face your fears and challenge tomorrow. You know, something along that line. But if that's what we do, if that's where we go with this text, then we have missed its intention. We have missed what lies behind it. You see, the fact of the matter is, none of us are Jesus. And Jesus had an ability to see things clearly and well. He could see where things were going. And he understood the cost and consequences clearly and well. So when the Pharisees came to him and said, you know, Herod's out to get you. You ought to hightail it out of here. And Anne is absolutely right. Our human instinct is, we get advice like that, you follow up on it. I remember when I was in college, there was a group of us, four guys, that took my buddy Wes Mesko's Volkswagen Bug and decided to head into the city of Chicago. Well, somehow or another, we got off on the wrong exit off the Roosevelt Highway. We had no idea where we were. We had no idea how to, before GPS's, we had no idea how to get to where we needed to be. We just knew we weren't anywhere we should be. Well, we did the unmanly thing and stopped at a gas station and asked for directions. Well, this fellow came out of the gas station, looked at us four boys in there and said, and I'll clean it up a little bit for you. What are you doing here? You don't belong here. We explained our situation and he said, do you realize this is the most dangerous section of the city of Chicago? He says, now get in your car, you go this way, and you turn right there, get back on the Roosevelt Highway, and you'll figure it out from there. He said, don't stop at any red lights, don't stop at any stop signs, keep moving. Anybody approaches the car, you hit the gas. We follow his advice. That would be the natural thing to do. Somebody says you're in a dangerous situation, you're in a position you don't want to be in, you need to get yourself out of there. But Jesus didn't heed that advice to him. He could see clearly. He knew what was laying ahead. He saw Herod. And he understood the character of Herod, and he called him a fox, not a compliment. I mean, we sometimes say, oh, that person's as sly as a fox. And we admire their cleverness or their creativity or the way that they are able to kind of manipulate things and accomplish a task. That's not how that phrase was being used in Jesus' day. To call someone a fox was to call them a lowlife. Because the fox was the one of the easy route. The fox was the creature who took the path of least resistance. The fox never went after any prey that posed any danger. The fox was the one who went into the hen house and made a good meal off some defenseless chicken or rooster. Jesus could see clearly the character of Herod and knew that what lay ahead was not going to be good. He knew that Herod saw him as easy prey. Because Herod had a desire to be the one whom everyone served. Herod had a desire to be the one that everybody revered, even maybe worshipped. And he wasn't about to let some itinerant preacher from some backwater town take that away from him. Jesus saw clearly the cost of what lay ahead. But the cost that he saw, the price of his calling in his life, was not just the pain and suffering on the cross. What he saw ahead was not just the pain, the physical pain, the pain of nails piercing his body. He saw another kind of pain. He cries out for Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem. How I would have gathered you as a mother hen gathers the chicks. I would have loved you. I would have protected you. I would have cared for you. I would have been there for you. But you rejected me. You cast me to the side. You've killed all those who have come before me. And you're going to kill me too. Jesus looked upon Jerusalem with love, with compassion. Upon the people of Jerusalem as ones for whom he cared deeply. Ones who should have gotten it. Ones who should have understood what the gospel of love was all about. But he could see clearly that lying ahead of him would be those in Jerusalem who, instead of receiving him in love, receiving him in adoration, receiving him in worship and praise, instead would cry out, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. The wounds of the flesh. For someone who loved so unconditionally, for someone who exemplified and lived out absolute love in his life, the wounds of the heart had to be as painful and maybe even more painful than the physical wounds he suffered on the cross. We can't jump into this text. This is not our story. This is the story of one who absolutely loved, one who counted the cost that was before him. But because of that absolute love, was willing to move forward, to suffer emotionally, mentally, spiritually, physically, so that that absolute love could be shown, so that we could see it in his death. This is not a story of positive thinking. This is a story of one who counted the cost. And as he measured it out in his desire to love everyone in this world, everyone and anyone who ever set foot on this planet, and out of his desire to love all in all times and in all places, counted the cost and saw that it was worthy to show the love that was so deeply within him. Would you pray with me? Almighty and ever-loving God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, you have shown us the power of absolute love. An absolute love that knew no boundaries, that knew no barriers, that was willing to face all the pain this world has to offer in order to give that love to every living person who has come before us, who is here now, and who is yet to come. We give you thanks for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, in whom we see what it means to be loved. We pray this in his name. Amen.